We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Daily Draft brought to you by Badger State Brewing in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I am your host and the publisher of Packer Report, and today is our final mock draft Monday. And today I have time. Today I do have time. Want to discuss a couple of things. We haven't had the chance for, you know, I've referred to these as the pleasantries. I haven't had a chance to do much of like the 6-8 minute quick talk at the top about draft topics. And I just want to kind of take the last one here to just sort of discuss, you know, what the point of all this was. What was the point of the daily draft? What's the point of what I do? And it's to bring you to the majority. And I understand there are, and some of them are, you know, people that think I'm an idiot, call them excuses. There are, I mean, some of them are reality, like for example, and I'm kind of rambling here, but I'll give you the 2022 draft. Quay Walker, while they don't take linebackers. Well, they do take linebackers. You know, Ted Thompson drafted AJ Hawk 5th overall. They had not done it for a while, and it frustrated people because Green Bay had bad linebacker play. They draft linebackers, you know, early. They took Nick Barnett super early. That might have even been Mike Sherman, but it might have been Ron Wolf. I can't remember. You know, they took Nick Barnett in round one, took AJ Hawk in round one, took Quay Walker in round one. The important part about Quay, the thing to remember about Quay is, yes, positionally, it was a little odd. They hadn't taken a linebacker early in a long time. I probably and almost certainly said that they were unlikely to do so, or I might even say they won't do so. But ultimately, Quay was as Packers gets. I mean, you look at his athletic profile, and he was an outlier by position alone. Okay, and so some of the guys that we're talking about as outliers, not just their positions, like 4, sometimes in some cases 5 things. Same with Devontae Wyatt. Devontae Wyatt was old, but that's it. Every other thing the Packers would look for, SEC, high athletic profile, high QB pressure numbers, perfect size for what they were doing. He hits it, right? Devontae Wyatt was Packers-y as hell, just old. And I would call, you know, age and position, I would call that like B-tier or ancillary stuff, right? The black and white stuff for what the Packers, you know, for what they've done so far, has been tackle, heights and weights. They just haven't gone shorter than this, haven't gone taller than this, haven't gone lighter than this, haven't gone heavier than that. And look, right, there's always exceptions. Okay. Just published the Packer report, shortlist, the RAS shortlist yesterday. And there are, 77.3% of the Packers drafted by Brian Gutekunst that we actually have scores for were an 8.08 or more, which would tell you predictively that if you're looking for 80% of the Packers class, you'll look for guys that have an 8.08 RAS or better. It's not a guarantee. Go 50%. They won't, but they could. Okay. And so, you know, when we talk about a guy, I did the show right already. And this is a little bit of a victory lap because, you know, Brian basically said exactly what I've been saying in his press conference today. The Packers want you to be able to play multiple spots on the offensive line. They cross train guys on the offensive line. I've talked it to death. Mims is too tall. He's too heavy. He doesn't have enough starts. We don't know his agilities. Okay. They haven't taken a tackle in the first three rounds ever under Goody, a tackle to play tackle. Excuse me. I am better. I got a little bit, but I promise. I feel better, sound better. I am better. I will come to Green Bay a healthy man. But really what I was talking about with the height weight stuff, and you saw with Derek Sherrod, I think you were maybe going to see it with David Bakhtiari if Bulaga never gets hurt that one year. But you've seen with a number of guys, they value versatility. And there is a height where it just becomes untenable, to play center or guard. Mims also, frankly, hasn't shown it. Maybe he could do it, right? You think he's athletic enough. We don't know the agility test, so he's just fast and explosive, which is honestly not that important for a tackle. That's why they care so much about the short shuttle, the three cone. If Mims is a right tackle who can only play right tackle, that's another strike. To a lesser extent, if Tyler Guyton is a right tackle who can only play right tackle, that's a huge strike. Go back and listen to what Goody said. I retweeted it with some smart-ass thing. Okay, but the point of all this isn't, look at me, look how smart I am. You know, I invented the draft thresholds. I didn't. I just did the RAS shortlist and then started to narrow things down from there, worked with Jake Stack, did all these things, right? No one cares, honestly. I want you guys that watch this show to feel informed. I've done a ton of work, okay? I've worked really hard to watch these guys that I tell you about. I want you guys to be informed. I also want you to have a realistic look, a realistic thought process in your head of who the likely Green Bay Packers are. Who are the tier one guys? Who are the tier one and a half guys? Who are the tier two guys, right? Who is going to be a Green Bay Packer? Who is most likely to be a Green Bay Packer? And who are they probably not interested in? Okay, 180-pound corners. 175-pound wide receivers. 350-pound tackles. Probably not, guys. Edge rushers, especially early, with RAS in the sevens. Okay. For a long time, edge rushers less than 270 pounds weren't really what they were doing. The goal is to lead you to the 77.8%. And 22% of the time, you'll be right. All you guys tell me how stupid I am. Threshold isn't a threshold until it's a threshold, whatever the hell you say. We're just trying to get people to the most likely outcome. And I make jokes about barbecue sauce. By the way, I've never lost a barbecue sauce bet. You can look all those up. Right. I make jokes, but ultimately the goal is just to have you guys be as informed as possible and then understand what the most likely outcomes are. I mean, my God, go back to, I want to quick take a look at this. This will be great radio. I'm going back to look at, because I want the actual answer. Jake Stack, and this was just at one position. He did a phenomenal job, though. This was just at one position. But Jake Stack, let's see. Where is this? Now I've lost it. Let's see. This is great radio. I thought we had a link to give people last year's guide for free in case they wanted to look at it. But I can go right here into Packer People. Excuse me. So your five Packers tier ones last year, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, they passed on him for Lucas Van Ness, Rashee Rice, awesome season for the Chiefs, Dontavion Wicks, taken by the Green Bay Packers, A.T. Perry, and Grant Dubose, taken by the Green Bay Packers. Think of all the wide receivers that were available in last year's draft. Think of them all. By the way, the only thing that Jaden Reed missed was weight, and they made him put the weight on. So Jaden Reed would have basically been a tier one if we'd have known that the Packers wanted him to get up to 195. So, you know, 39, 41, 43, whatever receivers that got taken, we gave you five, and the Packers took two. We narrowed it down that much, and the Packers took two of our five tier ones. And basically a tier one and a half in Jaden Reed. We're just trying to help. And it's not we're smart. We're not cool. Like, we're just trying to help. Anyway, to what we actually do here on this show. First and foremost, we will take a look at a multi-round national mock that I have not seen yet. And today, I am so very excited to do that. One of my pals, before he was so gosh darn big time, and that is Jordan Reed over to ESPN. He's got a 7-round mock. We're going to look at the first 5 rounds for the Green Bay Packers. As always, I have not seen this mock draft. And sorry, I know it's paid content, ESPN, but everybody tweets what the picks are, so sorry. Okay, at 25. Oh, a trade. Nope, never mind. Excuse me. Graham Barton. Yeah, I mean, that's a super Packersy pick, other than it's the only thing about Barton is, like, they don't do that in the first round. If you think he's an interior lineman, they haven't done that since Aaron Taylor in like 1994, which, whatever, they could still do it, right? And they haven't taken a tackle super early either. If they think he can play center, they did take Elgton Jenkins in the 40s and they took Josh Myers in the 50s. So it's not that nuts if they think he's like a really, really good center. I mean, I think it could happen. It's not a super, super Packers pick, but it could happen, especially with DeGene on the board. They took an offensive lineman. This is a selfish personal thing. They took an offensive lineman from Duke ahead of Cooper DeGene. I'm going to need some help. On Thursday night at the Cheesehead TV draft party. Yeah, I actually think this is going to happen. Edgerrin Cooper at 41. We did our Packers draft, which means I'll pick teams of like the most, like Jake Stack's been really good at it. Obviously, he's the, I think maybe even the defending 2-time champ of the Packers draft. And he is the father of our particular, tiers, our threshold stuff at the Packer Report draft guide, which you need to buy, by the way, link in description. Jake has kicked our butts. Me and Jacob Westendorf, Jake Stack has kicked our butts twice. Jacob Morley, as you know him on Twitter, but Edgerrin Cooper was my first pick in the Packer Report draft. I took him as the most likely Green Bay Packer, and I probably would have taken Barton second. So shout out to Jordan Reed, because I think he's taken two of the most likely Packers with his first two Packers picks. Jordan Reed's going to get an A++ for me. Cole Bishop, another one of my Packers draft guys. I don't really give a crap about arm length with safeties. I don't think or know that they do either. I know he's got like alligator arms or T-Rex arms or whatever. I just don't care. Man, if they started this draft, like, I'd be annoyed with the Barton thing a little bit. But man, Barton, Edge Cooper, Bishop is a very Packers-y draft. This is, see, Jordan does the work. He's a stud, man. And I'm not saying he's like grinding every single all 32 teams to their tendencies, but he's nailing what Green Bay does in these first three picks.
Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid, and guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app, using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Scooting down to 88 and 91. All right. Kyrie Jackson. He's interesting. There's one thing that Kyrie lacked, I think, was honestly, now that we have like agilities for Kyrie, I think it was probably unlikely that he becomes a Packer. Or I can't remember what it was. Let me look. Cause I think we got like an actually officially official, RAS for him that kicked him off of Green Bay's like 8.08 or above deal. And they care about athleticism at corner a lot. I'm going to just quick look at the RAS shortlist. Yeah. See, he's off it. I can't remember what happened, but I think he added agilities and they weren't great. And his RAS ended up overall, or his speed or something, he ended up sub 8, and they just, Green Bay doesn't do that very often. The sub 8 corners with a premium pick. So that'd be the only kind of questionable thing about the Kyrie Jackson thing. That's Packersy as hell and something I'd like to see them do with Jalen Wright, running back Tennessee at 91, 7.4 a carry, 35 10-yard plus runs. You can see it all here. I've done a Jalen Wright episode you guys can find. Man, this is really good. The Kyrie Jackson thing is questionable, but they've done some stuff where they get away from kind of quote unquote what they do as early as round three. You go look at some of my like outlier tweets. Some of that stuff does start in round three. I do not like the Gabe Hall pick, but we are in round four, so we're not going to complain too much. If he took Gabe Hall with Johnny Wilson on the clock or on the board, took Gabe Hall with Tyke Smith on the board, took Gabe Hall with Bo Limmer on the board. Just a lot of guys I'd be really annoyed of them taking Gabe Hall over Will Shipley, although they did just take Jalen Wright. And finally, the one that we're going to care about, Braden McGregor. You know, they need edge depth. I don't think that's crazy. Just quick check. And again, round five, we're in the scratch and dent store. So McGregor is not what you would call a Packers edge. I'm not saying they won't, can't, whatever, take him. You have a 28th percentile shuttle and you're not doing the three cone. Like, if all we know is that you're a 28th percentile shuttle guy, that's not very Packersy, but whatever. I mean, I'd give that an A. Like, couple outliers, fine. I would be super annoyed with the Gabe Hall pick. He is, just looking at my rankings, sounds like I'm just absolutely dumping on Gabe Hall and not, but just from a value perspective, Hall for me, Gabe Hall, not Mike Hall, is like a UDFA. He's 295th on my rankings. So for him to be in the fourth round would make me a little bit sad. But Jordan must like him more, or like the fit, or I don't know, is a 9+ RAS guy. So certainly, you know, within the realm of what Green Bay might do. I just am not a huge fan of the player. That's fine. Okay, here is the zoomed in version of the PFF website for all of you that cannot see. Diving right in, I figured the last one, we're just going to do a full simulation of what I would do with the Packers tendencies sort of in my mind. And I am open to trades. I am not going to purposely trade. We're going to just kind of keep this close to the public board, and then we're going to 50-50 out everything else for one final time. We are going to draft for the world champion Green Bay Packers. And I'll tell you right now, we're not going to trade up. We're going to see what happens at 25. What the offers might be at 25, and then we'll kind of look around, and I'm going to pull up my final big board. You guys won't be able to see it, but I'm going to pull up my final big board here to make some of these decisions. Well, that's not a decision. We don't have to make a decision. That's Laiatu Latu, and I have no pants on in the lyric room in Green Bay. That's fun, because I haven't gotten to do that yet, the Latu stuff. And look, there's some medical stuff. I mean, that's not completely and totally out of the realm. It's not completely and totally out of the realm that he falls that far. You see a guy fall like that every year. I think it's certainly on the table. Okay. So now I'd be looking at the, cornerback spot. For one of my top six, preferably one of my top five, because definitely I think there's a gap for me between my number five corner. Just getting in my my sheet here. So my number five corner is Kool-Aid. And see, he has a real first round grade for me, and he's 19th overall. And TJ Tampa, who I very much like, is 40th, and Rakestra is 44th. So like, there's a gap between Tampa and Kool-Aid that's pretty serious. And just looking here, it sounds like I would have to take Tampa if I was going to go the cornerback route. As far as what's available, you know, I think at this point in time, especially Keon Coleman is very interesting, but we already kind of did our luxury thing, right? Because the Packers have needs. You know, they need an offensive line body even after the Dillard thing. I would say they need a linebacker, although we're maybe not going to take care of that right now. Although if Edgerrin Cooper is on the board, which it seems like he is, that's on the table. Okay, so Edgerrin Cooper's on the table. Yeah, he is. Okay, he's available. They would call it a reach. Cheating would say at 50. Oh, we're at 58. What did I do at 41? My brain is broke. No, we're not. I'm over there. I'm sorry, guys. I'm screwing this up. So as far as my board goes, because Chop Robinson's gone, Kool-Aid's gone, Fuaga is gone, Powers Johnson is gone, Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Worthy are both gone, okay? Then it's Fatanu and Mims. Again, Mims is not somebody I'm going to take because I don't think they will. Plus, it looks like he's gone. Then it would be Keon Coleman or Chris Jenkins. But again, like I think we have to address a need here, because while edge four is a need, it's edge four. You have Rashawn Gary, you have Preston Smith, you have Lucas Van Ness. I'm very super excited and pumped as hell to get Latu. Okay, he's got a blue chip grade for me. Should never be available at 25, but I could see how it could happen. The next stuff, I mean, he was retired by the first college team that he played for. I think it was Washington. They moved to UCLA. They medically retired him. So it's possible that the Packers could clear him medically and some other teams didn't. And all of a sudden, bing, bang, boom, you know, he's whatever. So from a value perspective, I can't get Jordan Morgan. You know, I have some guys, but my last first-round grade is Mims. So even though I have Keon Coleman 27th, which you can't see, he has a second-round grade. Chris Jenkins has a second-round grade. These guys that are available. Jordan Morgan is unavailable. Graham Barton is unavailable. I know Cooper Beebe is available. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. You know what? I'm going to just stop talking. I'm going to take TJ Tampa and pray that I can get. No, you know what? I'm not going to do any of that. I've talked and talked and talked. I'm going to take Edgerrin Cooper at 41 because I think the Green Bay Packers are going to take Edgerrin Cooper at 41. So that's what we're going to do, and then we'll see what happens at 58. Tampa went. That kind of sucks. Jaden Hicks went. That's not great. Bullard is really interesting to me, but I think he's too light. Let's see what else is available here. You know, Neyland is interesting, but Green Bay already did the thing. I'm going to take Kingsley Suamataia and pray we can get Cole Bishop at 88. Just pray. Because, you know, Kingsley for me, he is right there in my top 50. I think they'll play him at guard. I think Dillard really wants to be a tackle, and I think Dillard is going to make the team. So I think your interior depth is now Kingsley Suamataia, and your tackle depth is now Andre Dillard. I would honestly love the Kingsley pick at 58. So we're going to do that. Now we're just watching the board, hoping that Cole Bishop doesn't get picked. And he didn't. So that makes pick 88 real easy, I think, unless I'm completely losing my mind. And he went super early. There we go. And look, I know kind of waiting on Bishop is a little bit cheating just because, you know, they are, they being the Packers are not even the Packers. Consensus is just higher on Bishop than where PFF is. Even if I did move it all the way over to the public board, gun to my head, I don't think Bishop is available at 88. I'll just say that. Okay. I'll just say that. Okay. Now the Packers want a running back in Trey Benson. Trey Benson, we don't know his agilities, but he fits everything they need. That's fine. So we got the linebacker taken care of. We got the offensive line taken care of. Running back, we have not taken any type of corners. I'm really hoping that Kamal Haddon is available. He is a Packersy dude. The other guy that I would definitely take, though, if Haddon isn't available. No, he is. All right. So this, they're going to say this is a reach. But he is the most Packersy guy left. And I'm going to take Kamal Haddon there. And now I can kind of do whatever I want in round five. Because all the stuff that needs doing has kind of been done. Probably another offensive lineman, just depending on who's there. Nope, Cedric Gray. They need two linebacker bodies. Gray is in my clump. I'm going to take him. I know they might be higher on Cedric Wallace, potentially, but or Trevin Wallace, excuse me. They did have him in for a 30 visit. I'm going to go with Cedric Gray. I think he and Edge Cooper are both probably outside linebackers and might kick Quay inside. But if they're going to do the Nick Barnett thing and move Edge Cooper to Mike anyway, then Cedric Gray is a fine draft choice. So we will take Cedric Gray. Really excited about this one. Really excited. Latu, Cooper, Suamataia, Cole Bishop, Trey Benson, Kamal Haddon, Cedric Gray. Probably a couple of offensive line picks now coming late. You know, Dillard makes that not as important. You look at this, right, and you have your five starters. They haven't cut Royce yet, so that's six. Kingsley makes seven. Andre Dillard makes eight. Yeah, they'll take a couple more guys. If you're going to give Caleb Jones a chance, if you're going to give Luke Tenuta a chance, this is not insane. You know, you grab a couple guys. They got a bunch of picks after this. So I understand that offensive line is important, but I'm very comfortable with the draft that I just had. And this will go up on Packer Report just a little bit later. Okay. My name is Ross Uglum. Thank you so much, guys, for watching Mock Draft Monday. I know this is the one that gets the most views, that gets the most listens. Just wanted to tell you how much I appreciated you guys on Mock Draft Monday this season. Buy the Packer Report draft guide. Very important to us. We appreciate it so much. Promo code DAILY for 10% off. And follow us over at Packer Report. I do believe today is 50% off of Packer Report VIP. You'll get all of our premium draft content, all of it. So that should be something, you know, that you guys do. That should be something that you guys do. Help us out over at Packer Report and so much awesome VIP content coming for and after draft week. Film breakdowns, real college all 22 film breakdowns coming. Great time to get in, 50% off today. Have a great rest of your Monday, guys. Go Pack, go.